Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to The Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And on the Odyssey.com app, hour number two here on a Saturday as we head till 3 o'clock today. Buccaneers reporting to training camp today. Teams starting to show up. Rookies, select veterans in a matter of days. Full camp, two-a-days. Oh, the struggle is upon us. You can almost smell it in the air. It's not football season. That smell is reserved for when the temperature dips down a little bit and you step on your deck on a Saturday or Sunday morning and you got that crisp autumn air and a little bite. And but you can smell the struggle, the two-a-day grind. And even as a high school football player, even if you're a kid, You just get to that late July, early August window, and you feel like, oh, your summer's going by the wayside, and you're going to be doing that 8:30 to 10:45 morning practice, and then you go back in the locker room and shower, eat lunch, eat a freeze pop, try to take a nap in the dark, and then you're right back out on the field from 1 to 3:15. Oh, those two-a-days. I do not miss those days. We actually had black helmets in high school, and I swear that in the afternoon session in the heat, and I grew up in Pennsylvania, so, I mean, it was still hot in August, but nothing like Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, the South. It'd be 92, 93 degrees, and I could smell the black paint on the helmet starting to melt. That's when I knew I hated football. Love games, just hated two-a-days. I channeled my inner Allen Iverson. Not a game, I'm talking about practice. Speaking of the NBA, let's get to the Hawks. Chris Kirschner tweeted this out July 21st, so 3 days ago. Hawks announced Onyeka Okongwu underwent successful surgery earlier tonight in Los Angeles to repair a torn labrum in his right shoulder. He is expected to make a full recovery in approximately 6 months. Again, as I said last week, we are not cursed. Atlanta sports are not doomed. But I'll be damned if the injuries don't just keep piling up. Unbelievable. Like, you got to be kidding me. And he's young. He'll be fine 6 months from now. What is that? August, September, October, November, December, January. He'll be playing probably in mid-January, late January, you know, barring any setbacks. But he's going to miss the first couple of months of the season. And look, Onyeka Okongwu in his rookie year, the numbers didn't jump off the stat sheet or the box score at you. But if you watch that Hawks postseason run, he was really solid. I'm not going to say he was special because it was a limited sample size. He didn't play a ton. But when Nate brought him off the bench and he and Gallinari were the bigs off the pine, I mean, he did what he was supposed to. Defended well, rebound, would score every now and then. I mean, it might only be 5 points and three rebounds and a block shot in 9-12 minutes, whatever it was. But he had an impact on the game. And now he's going to be out for 6 months. So what does that mean? Well, I have been of the belief since last year when he was drafted that, look, you draft him sixth overall because he's the best available, he fills the position of need, all those cliches for the draft. But I've said on this show, on this station many times, I think he was drafted in part with the thought in the back of Travis's mind and everybody else in the front office of the organization that This is the John Collins successor in the event John leaves in free agency for a max deal and we don't bring him back. Well, now Okongwu's going to be out for the first 3 months of the season. Does that impact the Hawks' desire to go all the way to the max for John Collins? And maybe they already have made up their mind before Okongwu's injury, before the surgery was announced publicly. And maybe they said, you know what? Yeah, we're bringing John back. Or maybe they said we're not. But now that this you know, curveball has been thrown into the equation, how does that change the way they operate? Because you're going to have Clint Capella. You're going to have Danilo Gallinari. If John goes elsewhere and Onyeka is on the shelf until the new year, well, now all of a sudden, a team that already, granted, we have four bigs, but we don't have a true enforcer down low. We saw that at times in the Milwaukee series, in the Philadelphia series. We've got four bigs, all with a variety of skill sets, all quality to good, very good players, but we don't have the game changer down low. Well, now we just take out 50% of the equation. What do we got? Do we have to go elsewhere in free agency? Are we drafting another big in the NBA draft coming up this summer? I think all of those are in play based on Onyeka Okongwu, torn labrum, surgery, full recovery in 6 months. Here's the other thing that I thought stood out. And if you guys have listened to this show, you know I love power rankings. I'm telling you what, you could power rank Memorial Day grilling condiments, and I would read it. I love power rankings. I love lists because it creates debate. And both CBS Sports and ESPN have already put out their, quote, way too early 2021-2022 NBA power rankings. So as soon as I saw this, I had to click, right? Clickbait, right? Oh, power rankings are stupid. It's just a slideshow. I'm a sucker for it, I admit. But CBS Sports, I wanted to see where they had the Hawks. So number one in their top 10 is the Brooklyn Nets. I think that's ridiculous. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to be back in full force next season. Milwaukee should be the number one team. You want to put Brooklyn at two or three, so be it. But they have Brooklyn 1, Milwaukee 2, Phoenix 3, LA 4, Utah 5, the Clippers 6, the 76ers 7, which I think is also a joke. The Warriors, you're making a lot of assumptions about that team next year, at 8. And they have our Hawks at number 9. I don't know how you can put Philadelphia ahead of Atlanta. First of all, we defeated them in the semifinals of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Secondly, that one of their two best players, in theory, is Ben Simmons, right? Like, I think Ben Simmons is a total dog. He's got no guts. But I have talked to people in Philadelphia who have said that organization is doing everything possible to unload him. So whether he comes back or he doesn't, how can you put the Sixers ahead of the Hawks? How can you put the Warriors ahead of the Hawks? I get it. Some of these teams had better regular season records. They had a higher seed in the playoffs. But the Hawks were one of three teams left standing. The Sixers, to me, are a weird team. And I don't know that they're ever going to get over the hump. And I'm not saying the Hawks are. But I think we are better off than a handful of these teams. ESPN NBA Power Rankings. Where did they rank all of these teams that we just mentioned? Okay, they actually go with Brooklyn as... Milwaukee number one, which makes sense. Brooklyn 2. Phoenix 3. The Lakers 4. They got the Sixers 5. That's outrageous. The Jazz 6. The Nuggets 7. And the Hawks at number 8. So CBS has the Hawks at number 9. ESPN has the Hawks at number 8. Guys, I'm glad that we're getting love. I mean, a year ago at this time, we would have been like number 26, 25. So we're in the top 10. And again, they're preseason power rankings on July 24th. But that being said, even though we're getting some love and some attention, I still think we're being a little bit slighted. Now, maybe that's because they don't know the future of John Collins, so that factors in, but They don't know the future of Chris Paul, do we? I mean, I think he'd be foolish to opt out of his $42 million option for next year. But they got the Suns, number two and number three, respectively. But again, the Okongwu thing is one of these things where I'm like, huh, man, didn't we just deal with a nut? Forget the other teams in this town. Forget the Falcons' injuries or what the Braves are dealing with injury-wise or Joseph Martinez or anything like that. Didn't we just deal enough with Hawks' injuries? And now Okongwu, who I think could very well be a starter next year if John's not back, not sure how it works fit-wise because I feel like he and Clint Capella kind of clog things up together because I don't really expect either one of them to step out 17 feet on the baseline and knock down a J like John Collins can. But now it's just like another blow to the Atlanta Hawks, and I wonder if, in fact, it alters the way Travis is going to do business when it comes to negotiations with John Collins and his agent with that contract. We'll see. 404-741-0929. We'll come back. Hawks calls if you want to jump in on anything we just talked about. 404-741-0929. And then I'm going to bring in my producer, Dylan Matthews, because I have in my hands four potential John Collins, Atlanta Hawk, blockbuster sign and trade deals. We'll go through these four. Are any of them realistic? And of the four, would you sign off on those as a fan? We'll kick that around next. Nick Kale Show. Stay there.
Back with more Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sorry, good to have you guys in here on a Saturday. 404-741-0929. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line on Twitter at Nick Kale. So, before we get to some of these potential blockbuster trades with the Hawks and John Collins, I know a lot of people have been wondering, all right, well, how much money do the Hawks have? What's the cap? Yada, yada, yada. So Bobby Marks, former NBA GM, great insider for ESPN, has a great piece on ESPN.com/NBA where he talks about what every team will have available this summer. Now, he broke it down into different tiers. Tier one is considered cap space, but at a cost. For these 10 teams, there's a path to cap flexibility, but it would come at the cost of some of their own free agents. The Hawks, fortunately, are not in tier one, which is teams that are struggling with the cap, but still have some wiggle room. Tier two, the Atlanta Hawks are in. Now, tier two is described as the mid-level exception club. These teams are not in a position to have cap space, but can use all of their $9.5 million mid-level exceptions and still avoid hitting the luxury tax. That's valuable in the constricted market, according to Bobby Marks. Hawks and Cavaliers can retain their own key free agents, such as John Collins and Jarrett Allen, and have enough room to use the full mid-level exception. In the unlikely scenario that Atlanta does not bring back Collins, so Bobby Marks thinks that John Collins is coming back, it'll have $14 million in cap space. Now, the mid-level free agents, those guys get anywhere from $6 to $9.5 million per. We're talking about the guys like Derrick Rose, TJ McConnell, Patty Mills, Alec Burks, Danny Green, Reggie Bullock, Rudy Gay, Nerlens Noel, Montrezl Harrell. He gets to the Hawks specifically. Currently, the Hawks have $38 million under the tax. He says, here are the guys that will return or join the team. Clint Capella, Danilo Gallinari, Bogey, DeAndre Hunter, Trey Young, Okongwu, Chris Dunn, assuming he exercises his player option, Cam Reddish, Kevin Huerter, Bruno Fernando. Key free agents, John Collins, restricted, and Lou Williams. And then the guys that might be gone, according to Bobby Marks, Tony Snell, Solomon Hill, Brandon Goodwin, Nathan Knight, and Skylar Mays. Again, that's from Bobby Marks, ESPN. You can check that out, ESPN.com. All right, blockbuster trade conversation. I'm going to bring in my producer, Dylan Matthews, and we're going to go through these one by one. Now, full disclosure, these are not reports from the Wojes of the world. I got this from SportsTalkATL.com. It's one of the independent sports blog sites in Atlanta. I think they do a good job. And some of this is kind of fantasy world. I don't know how realistic any of these would be, But we'll go through all four of them and see if we would sign off on any of these. And this is in wake of Shams Charania from Stadium recently talking about John Collins. He apparently had an article on that. And there's many ways the Hawks can deal with, you know, these potential trade partners. We've heard the Mavericks, the Heat, the Spurs, and Timberwolves are interested in a John Collins deal and or trade. But of course, Sports Talk ATL points out, and this is a good point, unless one of those teams up the ante in a deal, the Hawks would probably plan on just matching the offer sheet that he signed. However, that's not the only way that Travis can handle the situation. All right, Dylan Matthews, are you ready for these four blockbusters?
I was born ready.
I like that. The swag is off the charts today. All right, here we go. Potential John Collins sign and trade blockbuster number one for the Hawks. The 76ers trade Ben Simmons to the Atlanta Hawks for John Collins and Kevin Huerter. Dylan Matthews, you're the GM.
Oh, you're starting off with a doozy. My knee-jerk reaction was, heck no, do you see what Ben Simmons did in the playoffs? But then I started to get logical and I actually started to think about it a little bit, and it actually doesn't sound bad, because if we did train for Ben Simmons, he would not be our point guard. He would, yes, take the spot of John Collins. Ben Simmons is big enough to guard 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. Versatile option. He's better in the post. He's better driving to the basket. There were rumors and, you know, there were reports, you know, not from anywhere specific, but it was to be said that Ben Simmons wasn't driving into the lane like he should have, and he wasn't dominant as he could have been because Joel Embiid was taking up the space in the paint. Now, again, I don't know how true that is, and that's why I'm still kind of skeptical about trading for Ben Simmons. But if that is true, he would have, you know, the paint somewhat to himself, I guess, but there is that Clint Capella factor. Now, you could do a thing if you really, really wanted to. When Oyeka Okongwu comes back, and even you could do this probably with Danilo Gallinari, go a super small, maybe try to imitate a Golden State Warriors death lineup where you have Trey at the one, you would put Bogey at the two, then you could have either Cam, DeAndre, who's ever in the game, at the three, put Ben Simmons at the four, Danilo Gallinari at the five. Maybe that could be something that worked. They all could stretch the floor. You could maybe work Ben Simmons exclusively out of the post. And maybe, just maybe, Nick, and this is my last point on this, we can actually get Ben Simmons to shoot. Because
That's not going to happen. He never will. He's not going to do it.
But the thing is, though, Nick, I saw some tape from a long time ago. Ben Simmons' rookie year, summer league. He was shooting, and he was actually, his shot didn't look bad. And
keyword summer league.
I know, but
I need him shooting in April, May, and June.
And then I will point to this too. I know it's a different story. I know this isn't the same player, but look at Markelle Fultz. How he got revitalized in Orlando, and where was he? Philadelphia. Yep. So maybe we could fix Ben Simmons like Orlando fixed Markelle Fultz.
All right, so Dylan Matthews, yes or no? Great analysis. I need your decision.
No. Ultimate decision is no, because too many ifs.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like the flexibility that he and Trey could maybe take turns, and you could play Trey off ball. There's a lot of things you could do with Ben Simmons. To your point, he can play 1 through 4, maybe even a 5 at times. But when I saw a guy that passed up a dunk –
yeah —
in a playoff game, that showed me everything I need to know about Ben Simmons. So for me, emphatic no. If you would have asked me back in April or May, I'd be like, yeah, probably. But me, no. All right, number two. The Portland Trail Blazers trade Damian Lillard for John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, Kevin Huerter, Onyeka Okongwu, and picks.
This is easy. Heck no. No, you are not. No, you are not giving up your future for a guy that we already have. We already have a Damian Lillard. His name is Trae Young. We talked about this way, way back in the past. Me and you did, Nick. The only difference, in my opinion, right now between Damian Lillard and Trae Young is Trae Young's not going to dunk on you. Damian Lillard could dunk on you. They do the same thing. Both ball dominant guards with unlimited range can get to the paint. What's the difference?
You think this would be just as bad as Brooklyn with Harden and Kyrie?
Yes. Why uproot your young stars in your depth for a guy that you essentially already have? I'm not doing it.
Let me run this by everybody again. It would be Damian Lillard for John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, Kevin Herter, Okongwu, and picks.
And you're taking away all your defense, too.
I'll tell you what. I do it, and I do it in a heartbeat.
Huh?
Here's why. You need two stars to win in this league. By and large, you need two. You'd have them, Trey and Dame. Trey at the point, Dame at the two. Now, even though you're giving up Collins, Hunter, Herter, and Okongwu, I don't care about the picks because those picks would be irrelevant anyway. Right. They would end up being like Skylar Mays. So right. Who cares? Here's your rotation if you do this. You have Trey, Damian Lillard, Bogey, Cam Reddish, Capella, Gallinari, Dunn, and then you fill in a few other spots with, you know, whoever. I mean, that's seven guys right there. You're looking for two or three role players. I mean, you're giving up four to get one, but that one, I mean, he's a top 10 player in the league, right?
Yeah, it's too much of the same player for me now. Okay. And this is now, I think this is a guy you're probably going to be in one of your scenarios. Now, if you're telling me that's Bradley Beal, yeah, do it in a heartbeat. No, I'm not even thinking about it. I've been wanting Bradley Beal. But for Damian Lillard, him and Trey are just too much of the same for me. We already have a Damian Lillard, basically. I mean, obviously, there are some differences, but when you boil it down to what they do, it's the same thing.
All right, blockbuster number three. The Wizards, as we will go to what you just mentioned, the Wizards trade Bradley Beal for John Collins, Kevin Herter, Okongwu, and picks. I think you automatically already said you're 100% in on that.
Yeah, if Travis Link gets offered that, don't even think about it. Just say yes. Just do it. I mean, that's easy to me.
I'm not opposed to it. I mean, I am emphatically in favor of Lillard over Beal. I would say no because here's my thing. Is, you know, I get, you know, Bradley Beal's a really good player, and he and John Wall years ago, it didn't work. Beal and Westbrook's on the team now?
Yes.
And I don't really know that that's worked.
No.
So isn't the same logic applied here to Bradley Beal as Dame Lillard?
No. Bradley Beal can score. He's way, way, way better at playing off ball than I think Trae Young or Damian Lillard could be.
Okay.
Because he was just doing it, putting up buckets with Russell Westbrook, who is very ball dominant. Bradley Beal, I feel like, could play with any type of guard. I think that's just how good he is. He can work coming off of screens. And if you need him to, he can handle the ball. He can give Trae Young extra rest. There's just so much more I feel like you could do with a guy like Bradley Beal than Damian Lillard. Bradley Beal does not need the ball in his hands 24/7 to be effective. And I think Damian Lillard is more that type of dude. So I would say, heck yes. Quick, fast, and in a hurry, Nick Kale, to Bradley Beal.
I haven't heard of quick, fast, and in a hurry in a long time. By the way, I love that phrase. I used to use that like back in 1999. Here's the thing. And when we mentioned with Beal, we mentioned with Lillard, we mentioned even Simmons, does any of these moves, and again, they're all hypothetical blockbusters. This is just kind of fantasy speculation fun. Do any of those kind of stunt the growth of Cam Reddish? Because I believe coming out of this postseason run, especially towards the end of it, when Cam was balling out, that we might have our own 21, 22-point a game guy to go next to Trey.
No, for sure. Cam can be that dude, and I am really, really interested to see what Nate McMillan does with Cam Reddish for a full entire season. I think we got a glimpse of it in the postseason, you know, and I think there was like, they had Nate McMillan mic'd up and he was just talking to Cam and saying, just go play your game. Do your thing. Go play your game. I think Cam Reddish really can have a breakout season this upcoming year. And, you know, if Sean Thomas is listening right now, I know he's probably getting on me because I've been saying Cam Reddish is going to break out and he hasn't yet. But I really, really am confident that this could be the year for Cam Reddish.
All right. Final one. And it's the only time they bring up a big, but the Lakers trade Anthony Davis for John Collins, Clint Capella, Kevin Herter, and Cam Reddish.
Ooh, that is tough. But
that's the pricey. It's two bigs
pricey.
And two wings. But you're talking about maybe one of the top five best players in the league.
Man.
You got to give to get, man.
So, yeah. So, John Collins, Clint. Who are the other ones?
Herter and Cam.
Herter and Cam.
See, I would do it.
You got to do it. I mean, I would hate to give up Cam. I'm not worried about Capella or Collins,
no. You
know, or Herter. It's Cam for me. But, I mean, if you're keeping DeAndre Hunter, I'm okay with that. So, I mean, you got to do
Trey
it.
Trey and the brow equals a champion.
Trey and the Does brow equals a chip, man. So, you got to do it. You can't turn that down.
All right. So, I got two yeses. I would be in on Anthony Davis and Damian Lillard. I would turn down Ben Simmons and Bradley Beal. And you are in on all of them except for Lillard?
Yes, I'm at one. I don't know. I will ultimately say no to Ben Simmons just because it's too many ifs, but it would be interesting. I wouldn't hate it, but I wouldn't do it if I was the GM.
Gotcha. All right. Coming up next, we've got NFL teams reporting to training camp. Brian Billick does a great job for the NFL Network. He was on Dukes and Bell this past week. We're going to give you like a 6 or 7 minute clip of that where he talks about the Falcons and also the NFL and how they're handling the vaccinations and who shows up and gets tested and who doesn't get tested and all that type of stuff. Really good stuff from Billick. You'll hear that, and then we'll react to some of it on the back end. Stay there.
Now back to the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, rolling on here. Nick Kale Show live on a Saturday as we hang out till 3 o'clock. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. We'll get to what I think is a lunatic, absolute lunatic concept. It's lunacy at its essence with the Braves and Brian Snicker. That's coming up at 2 o'clock today. Joe Patrick, our Braves reporter, will join us coming up at 2:20. And then we've got a Saturday social. We'll wrap things up with Dylan Matthews at 2:40 today. NFL teams reporting to camp, the world champion Buccaneers in camp today. And earlier this week on Dukes and Bell, the guys had on Brian Billick, Super Bowl winning champion coach with the Baltimore Ravens, now at the NFL Network. And they had him on talking, obviously, NFL training camps, the Falcons, vaccinations, things like that. We'll give you about a 7-8 minute clip of that here, and then we'll get some thoughts on the back end. Here's Carl Dukes asking Brian Billick what he thinks about the NFL basically making the players get vaccinated.
Well, just like, you know, the players, playing in the NFL is a privilege. It's not a right. Mm. And there's certain things that you need to do, obviously, to play in the National Football League. This is a tricky one, but obviously the entire league, the fans, and the team want to do everything they can to maximize the players' safety, both on the field and in and around the locker room and the training facility. Getting vaccinated is one of those things, just like you get drug tested, because they want to make sure that the players are conducting themselves in a unified way that keeps the competitive balance for the league solid. So there's a lot of individual freedoms that are infringed on players in order to play in the NFL. And this is one that the league is just trying to do everything it can to maximize the opportunity for everybody to stay healthy and finish the season.
Coach, could you see this getting a little sideways in some locker rooms where we've had some guys that are outspoken as anti-vaxxers, and you know, now you're affecting somebody's wallet because these guys may lose game checks in a forfeit situation?
Well, there's any number of players that don't agree with the recreational drug policy. There's a lot of players that don't believe, and it's being analyzed, the HGH and things that they think are going to enhance their physical ability to sustain a long NFL season. There's going to be a lot of opinion. But to me, this is just one more of those steps that says, look, for the collective good of the team, we're going to need for you to make sure that you maximize your ability to stay free of the COVID and not pass it on. So, I can see where there's some players that are uncomfortable with that, that don't like it. It may be even challenged legally, but I think it's one of a number of issues. Clearly, the league is doing it. They believe it's in the best interests of the players and the entire league. I don't think anybody can argue with that.
Coach Brian Billick joining us here on Dukes and Bell. I want to get into some football conversation, and I think where we start is where we finished, and that's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady has basically spent the offseason killing the teams that didn't take a shot at him, right? Or at least that were interested and did say, oh, no, we're good. And then he goes and wins a Super Bowl. But they've got all 22 starters coming back, Coach. And everybody, it's easy to just say, well, of course, they're the favorites to win it again. But you've been in this position. How hard is it to come back off of a season where you've won it and then everything go right to get back in that position again?
Well, just that sequence that you talked about is, yeah, it's a lot. People say, well, it's so hard to repeat in the NFL for a Super Bowl champion. No, it's hard to win a Super Bowl, period. The things that have to come into alignment. So forget about the repeat. The good news is you have a team full of players that know what it takes to get there. I talked to Bruce Arians not long ago, and he said he made it very clear to his team. Those that you were here last year, congratulations, phenomenal effort, phenomenal job winning a Super Bowl. Those that are of you that are here this year, whether you were on that team or not, you haven't done squat, okay? Because it's a week-by-week deal in the National Football League. Plus, you have a Tom Brady that's been in this position before. He knows what it is to come back from a Super Bowl and try to hold that focus. So, we're going to hear the mantra, hey, it's all about this year. It's all about the next team up. They're going to say the right thing. Does that other stuff creep in? Sure it does, but you're not going to hear anybody talking about it.
You think Kansas City, now they've beefed up the offensive line, that they can get back, we can get a Tampa Bay rematch with the Chiefs?
Sure. They're a good football team. Now, they're going to have some stiff competition in the AFC, whether it be Baltimore, Tennessee. I think Indianapolis is going to be a team to contend with. There are a lot of good teams in the AFC that are going to have to go through in order to get there. But, yeah, they have all the elements, and with a healthy Patrick Mahomes, a better offensive line, there's no reason to think that they're not going to be there right in the middle of the fray.
We've got Arthur Smith here, and we want to run the football. We got to find out what we're going to do with our offensive line here in this preseason. Going to get that dialed in. But what do you think of with the Falcons? I mean, we won four games last year, Coach. We don't have a very good defense. We bring in Coach Pease to kind of make lemonade out of the lemons. What would you think? What would be a success for us? Get to 7 or 8 wins?
Well, certainly that's not what you aspire to. You think more than that. Outside of Tampa Bay at the top of the division, you've got three teams kind of in transition. You know, New Orleans without Drew Brees, you just outlined everything that Atlanta is. And Carolina, are they truly going to take that next step? And the changes they've made at quarterback, is this going to be the key? So certainly within division, certainly they're going to be right there, notwithstanding the top dog in the division and maybe in the NFC in Tampa Bay.
Brian Billick's with us, guys, as we're going round and round the NFL. We talked a lot about, you mentioned the Falcons and expectations. Matt Ryan is a guy that has, had Julio here for years and in some cases maybe went after Julio too much. Or it just got to be tunnel vision. We didn't score a lot of touchdowns. We put everything else up but the numbers that seemed to win us games, and that's scoring. Now we got a guy named Kyle Pitts. I don't know how much you got to see of him at Florida this last season, but it is that new super hybrid tight end wide receiver. How impactful can this guy be in his first year?
Huge. And the quarterback, Matt Ryan, knows what it is to have that impactful tight end with Tony Gonzalez and recognizing what that's about. You combine him with Hayden Hurst, who I think is also an excellent talent, forgetting that he was the first-round pick of the Baltimore Ravens because of the way they developed, he ends up in Atlanta. That's a pretty good 1-2 tight end punch that can take you from 12 personnel out to 11 personnel real quickly in terms of, well, what do I put on the field when I got Hayden Hurst and Kyle Pitts? Do I put base on because they can run it with that? Or do I put nickel because these guys can play like wide receivers down the field? So that combination, I think, is going to bode very well for Matt Ryan and the Falcons.
Coach, talk about the transition when you take over like Arthur Smith has with the Falcons. It's been, 6 years or so since we've seen another coaching change here. What's the most important thing when you come in as a new head coach? You've got veteran guys like Matt Ryan and other guys around you that you're trying to implement and trying to get accomplished.
Well, it's a day by day. You got to prove yourself every day. They've been through two pretty good coaches in Mike Smith and Dan Quinn. So they know what that looks like. And now Arthur Smith, the challenge is on a day-to-day basis, those players that have been around it and recognize what is well-run, what is a good team, what is good leadership, they're going to test it every single day. Is Arthur Smith that guy? There's no reason to think that he won't be, but those veterans are going to be watching every single day to see if indeed he is up to the caliber of the head coaches they've had there previously.
All right, guys, that was Brian Billick, world champion NFL Network analyst on Dukes and Bell. And I was listening to that on the app live when I was actually at work. And I really like the way Billick positions a lot of things. And I want to start with the vaccine stuff with the NFL teams and camps and then to the Falcons quickly here in the next 3 or 4 minutes. Two things really stood out to me from what Billick had to say about the whole vaccine thing with NFL players and teams kind of forcing their hand. At the end of the day, you got to remember this. Playing in the National Football League is a privilege. It's not a right. They're not saying you have to get the shot. But they are going down that road of, and I don't think they're going to get there, but they could certainly keep pushing towards it. Well, if you don't get vaccinated, you're out of luck. So they do kind of force your hand in that regard. But again, the NFL is a private entity. They can make those rules. And I've always been, and look, Billick even says, look, you have to give up some individual freedoms to play in this league. But I've always, and I'm all for pro-choice. You don't want to get the shot, that's fine. I'm vaccinated. I don't really care what you do. I want this thing to be over with, so I would hope that you'd get it. But if you don't, I'm not mad at you. I don't look down on you for that. But for all the people that say, well, it's my right, it's my choice, I get that. But the hypocrisy of it, you don't want to get a vaccine shot, but yet you'll do drugs or you'll drink alcohol. I'm conflicted by that. You'll put HGH or a steroid in your body, but you won't get a shot that's going to give you a very high level of protection against something. Now, look, odds are it's not going to kill you. Pro athletes, you're even better off. We know who it really ravages, the elderly, those with pre-existing conditions. You're probably going to be fine without it. But, I'm not getting that, but I was doing coke. I mean, I don't know. Sounds like hypocrisy to me. But I'm also an odds guy, a probability guy, a number guy. And I just don't understand why this is so difficult. Well, I could end up with, my heart being inflamed. Do you know the percentage of people that end up with that? Yeah, it's very minuscule. It's almost the same percentage of you getting COVID and dying. I just don't get the way people think. Looks like the NFL, if you're unvaccinated, they will test you up to 140 times throughout the year. If you're vaccinated, you will only be tested 14 times throughout the year. But kudos to the Falcons. 7 players out of 89 not vaccinated. That means 82 of the 89 are. And that's one of the NFL's highest rates at 92%. So good work out of them. We'll come back. And one other thing on the Falcons football specifically that Billick mentioned. Within the NFC South, the time is now for the Falcons to beat up on a team that ain't going to look like they used to. That's next, and then we'll get to the Braves. Stay there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.